It's good to be here once again. And okay, I want to bring your attention, or our attention, to the book of Joshua and Joshua 24. And I'm going to read the verses 14 onwards. Joshua 24 and verse 14 onwards. This is what Joshua says. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded all these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. We thank God for his word to us there. I felt it right in these recent weeks. I've been away on holiday this past week, so my preparation, let's say, the week before. You can't do much preparation on the beach, I found. I've tried, but I fall asleep most of the time. But the week before, when I sat down and worked through these verses, I felt it was right to bring these verses to us here this morning. Now, just to remind you, in case you have forgotten or you kind of learned this for the first time this morning, the background to these verses here in Joshua 24. You might remember that the book of Joshua is the story of the Israelite invasion into Canaan, the promised land, after the wandering around in the wilderness for some 40 years under the leadership of Moses. Moses now being dead, he handed the leadership of the nation to Joshua, and notable events in the book of Joshua include the crossing of the Jordan River, the fall of Jericho, the great battle at Ai, and the renewal of the covenant between God and the people, all notable events in Joshua. And this morning, we are looking at this last chapter in the book, chapter 24. And here the covenant is being renewed. And in verses 1 through to 13 of Joshua 24, which we didn't read, Joshua recalls to mind the blessings that Israel once had. And what were those blessings? Well, first blessing was that God, in fact, had chosen Israel. God also delivered Israel. God also guided the nation of Israel, and God gave them their promised land. These were all the blessings that God had promised the Israelites. And Joshua recalls to mind these great blessings to the people that he had gathered around him. And then Joshua goes on to remind the people that all these things were in the past. What was now important was that they had present responsibilities in verses 14 to 33. You see, they had to make a decision in verses 14 to 18. The people had to serve God and God alone. They couldn't sit on the fence, as it were. Then we come to that wonderful verse in verse 15 of chapter 24. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But whatever you decide, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Getting a picture here of Joshua before the people, saying to them, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. They were in the promised land. Joshua's getting older. Things were a little bit quieter than they were in the past. Crunch time had come. Here it is, Joshua was saying to them. Choose this day whom you will serve. But whatever you decide, as far as we are concerned, at my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We read that the people assured Joshua that they wanted to serve and worship only the God of Israel, as well as Joshua did. Why? Because the Lord, they knew, had delivered them in the past. Out of Egypt, into the promised land. And what I'm about to say very much is linked in with these verses found in Joshua 24 and verse 15. But now we come to verses 19 to 33. What are all these verses all about? Well, remember that the previous 18 verses were all about the people of Israel under the leadership of Joshua having decided whom they were to worship and serve as God, which they replied, the Lord God of Israel. The same God as we worship here this morning in Westergate. The people then had to put that statement into practice. They had to practice what they proclaimed, or as the saying goes, they had to practice what they preached. The problem was that the people under Joshua didn't have a good track record in keeping their promises, had they? Their former generation, when they had met the Lord at Mount Sinai, had said, all that the God had spoken, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We read in Exodus in chapter 19. Remember that? Just a few weeks later, what do we see them doing? They were worshipping the golden calf. You see then, as it is today, it is very easy for the people to promise to do something for the Lord. But then it was quite something different, something else for them to actually do it. It's easier to say things sometimes than it is to do things. And that is why Joshua gave the people a few stern words here in verse 19. He says, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. Here Joshua was trying to keep them all grounded to earth, as it were, and make them look honestly at their own hearts. That's what he was doing here. You see, the nation of Israel was, if you like, married to God. And therefore, God wouldn't tolerate any rivals in their hearts. He wouldn't put up with any other God in their hearts with a small g. He is, in fact, a jealous God, which we read about in Exodus 20. And he's a holy God. He could never allow the nation of Israel, his people, to be divided in their loyalty. Just as a husband and wife are supposed to be faithful in keeping their marriage vows and jealously guard their partner's affection, the nation of Israel had to be faithful to God as well. And Joshua here in these verses goes on to warn the people what would happen if they didn't get rid of their idols that were seeping into their lives. Verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. The people would forsake God and he would have to chasten them. And how would he do that? By taking away the blessings he had so graciously given them in the promised land that they now occupied. What they had to do now was to get rid of all the gods and the idols and worship and serve only the Lord God of Israel. We read in verse 23, "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." In New Testament terms, they had to repent, if you like. They had to believe and do. They had to believe in God and God alone, and they had to prove that by throwing away their pagan gods that were among them and yield their hearts to the Lord God of Israel. If they persisted in worshipping other gods and idols, the Lord would not forgive them but would punish them for their sins. And notice also that the people said that they would serve and worship only the Lord God of Israel three times, they said here, actually. Not just once, but three times. Joshua 24 and verse 18. They said, "We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Verse 21, the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." And verse 24, and the people said to Joshua again, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." You're getting the idea, getting the picture here. They were really sort of trying to convince Joshua that they were going to be serving the Lord and only him. And Joshua took them at their word. And so to remember their solemn covenant with God that they had just made on this occasion, Joshua wrote all this in the book of the law and set up a large stone as a perpetual witness to their agreement, something which they did a lot in those days. In fact, there are 9 stones like this recorded in Joshua. And the final passage in these verses, in verses 28 to 33, focus on 3 burials of all things. Joshua, Eleazar, the high priest, and the bones of Joseph were buried. And note in all these final verses that whilst Moses had named Joshua as his successor, it is significant that God didn't tell Joshua to appoint a successor. You ever thought about that? Who led the people of God after Joshua's death? He was getting old at this stage. Well, it was the elders. Unfortunately, they didn't do a very good job. The people started to go back to their old ways and began to disobey God and worshipped instead the false gods of the people who lived in the land, the Canaanites. However, if you know your Old Testament well, God regathered the people Israel and establish them in the promised land. That's an overview of the passage here in Joshua 24. What can we take away with us into this week and into the rest of our lives? Is there anything? Well, yes, there is. Be sure to put into practice what you believe. 3 things to leave with you and for you to take home. Decision. Have you made that decision to follow Jesus in your life? Just as the people of God had to make a decision as to whom they would serve and worship, so do you and I. Have you made that decision to serve and worship the Lord and him alone, I wonder? I guess many of you have. Maybe recently or maybe many, many, many years ago. I became a Christian 40 years ago at the what was known in those days as the Filey Holiday Week in September 1979. You've got my age now, haven't you? Under the preaching of a chap called Doug Barnett. And I wonder, have you ever made that decision, a similar sort of decision, to follow Jesus in your life? Maybe it was a particular evening or an event. Maybe it was over a period of time. doesn't really matter about that, but was there a time in your life when you gave yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder. If you have, brilliant. That's absolutely great. But if you haven't, can I encourage you that even this morning to find out, maybe from one of the church leaders here, about more about Jesus, basically, and how you can come to know Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord. How you can be assured this morning not only of a fulfilled life in the here and now, but a life in eternity as well. You have that assurance, you can have that assurance of that heavenly room prepared by Jesus himself for you when eventually you get to heaven. Just as the people of Israel had to do here with Joshua, they had to choose. You and I also have to make a decision whether to accept or reject Jesus. There's no, again, sitting on the fence. Just as Joshua challenged the Israelites, there's no longer sitting on the fence. You've got to just choose today whom you will serve. Likewise with us today, you need to choose today whom you will serve in your life. Who have you chosen, I wonder? Who will you choose? The second thing is, does your character and conduct demonstrate that you are devoted to Jesus, I wonder? Just as the people of God in Joshua's day had to make a decision as to whom they would choose, they also had to make a decision to practice what they proclaimed as well. And we have seen in verses 18, 21, and 24 that they confirmed their devotion to God after their decision to serve and worship him and him alone. How about you here this morning? So we may have decided to follow Jesus many years ago, or maybe more recently, but are we still following Jesus in our lives, I wonder? Are we putting into practice what we believe? Are we preaching? Are we practicing what we preach? When we look back on that occasion or that period in our lives when you decided to follow Jesus, and then look at our relationship with Jesus today, what is our relationship with Jesus like today? Is it still as close as it once was, or have we wandered away from Jesus down through the months or years that we have been a Christian? Yes, we may have kept lip service to Jesus. We have still attended church services and the like, but we know in our hearts of hearts that we are not as close to Jesus as we once were. Maybe some of us have been baptized and we look back at that service and wow, we were on fire for God. Our prayers, our reading of scripture, our worship was hot, if you like, if I can use that word. But now the flame has gotten a little bit smaller. Maybe for some that flame for God has more or less gone out. The pressures and the worries of life and all the rest have messed up or is messing up our walk with Jesus. We were once married to Jesus, but now that marriage is all but dead and buried. And all we have left is our church membership or baptismal certificate. How are you and I doing this morning in our relationship with Jesus? Are we as devoted to Jesus as we once were? Or are we not? The final thing we can take with us into this week, indeed the rest of our lives, will you dedicate the rest of your life to tell others about Jesus and the gospel? You may have made that decision to follow Jesus. You may still be devoted to Jesus in your life. And if that is true, that's brilliant. That's great. That's terrific. But are you dedicated to pass on to the next generation what you know and have experienced in your own life of Jesus Christ? Remember the elders in Joshua's day. After his own death, they were not very good on passing on the good news for the people to be continuing to follow God and be devoted to him in their lives. They weren't very good at doing that, as Joshua was, but these elders weren't after Joshua was no longer around. Why didn't the next generation know God and what he had done for the people of God? I tell you why, because the people of Joshua's generation failed to keep their promise and teach their children and their grandchildren to fear and to serve the Lord. I wonder how faithful are you and I in passing on to others what we have experienced of God during our lifetime. You see, you and I have the privilege and the responsibility to pass on the good news of Jesus and the glorious gospel to other people. When you and I were younger, I guess most of us will remember now even the saints of old. If you've been around church for any length of time, you will know this. Those saints of old who once shared the gospel with us, maybe in churches we were involved in. And through their witness, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a pastor, maybe an elder, a deacon in a church, maybe another Christian within that church you were once part of. And maybe you can think of that person or those people even now. You can picture them maybe teaching in Sunday school. I don't know your context. But those people who first passed on the gospel to us, they did that. But we are now in their shoes, if you like. Who are we passing on the good news to? How on earth will our families, our friends, and our neighbours get to know Jesus unless we tell them? When I became a Christian all those years ago, I was part of a Baptist church. I was in Boys Brigade, and I fancied the minister's daughter, so I used to go to church. I'm married to her now. And in those days, back in the 70s, 80s, in churches, you used to have a lot of tracts, a piece of paper, there were tracts around, telling about the gospel story. You know, the four spiritual laws and journey into life and those sort of tracts and gospels, leaflets. You don't see many of those around nowadays. Well, I don't anyway. And there's one little tract. It must have been about the size of about that, you know. It was blue on some sort of a yellowy kind of paper. And inside it, in very small print, it just explained the gospel. But on the front of it, and I kept it in my wallet for many months, if not a few years, until it eventually just decomposed, basically disintegrated. But on the front, it had a very simple picture. It was of a London underground station. And in underground stations, you have escalators going up and going down. And it was changed. Going up, going to heaven. Going down was going to hell. And it was kind of a picture that the person going up was you. And you are looking forward to getting to heaven. And then you turn around and on the other escalator there was a person you knew who was going down to hell. And the person who was on the escalator going down to hell had a speech mark and you know, some words. And it's still as powerful today as it was then when I first read it. When the person going down to hell turned around and on this tract looked at you going to heaven and said, "You never told me. You never told me." If you want a clear picture, that still gets me every time I just think about it. You never told me. If the truth be known, I sense that the fire of the gospel, the fire of the gospel truth, has greatly diminished for many of our churches and therefore many of our Christian lives. I go around a lot of churches. I'm a Baptist regional minister. I go around all the Baptist churches in Kent, Surrey, Sussex, and a bit of Hampshire as well. I'm doing an induction this afternoon, hence the tie. But I sense, even within Baptist churches whom I serve, there seems to be a lack of urgency these days for people, God's people, to tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Churches are very busy with a whole lot of stuff going on within them. You look at their date now, their weekly bulletin, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. This great. But where's the gospel in all that? Sometimes there is gospel in it, which is fantastic. Other times I wonder. There seems to be a lack of urgency. I'm a sort of maybe today the Lord will come again kind of person. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is a day of salvation. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I am. I believe that's what Scripture clearly says, though. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late for some. And for me, and this is now very popular today, there is a heaven waiting for all those who turn to Christ. And I should say it's not very popular today. I mean, going to heaven, seeing Christ is one thing, brilliant. But the thing not so popular today is talking about the other place, which is hell. I'm not sure when I last heard a sermon on hell in any church, let alone Baptist churches. There are these two realities in the life to come, heaven and in hell. This morning, we have seen that Joshua has much to tell us, and we've only really scratched the surface here this morning. But he tells the people, his people, in his day, as we have been reminded this morning, we are to believe in God and in God alone. Nothing and no one else. Secondly, devote yourself to live for God and for God alone. And then dedicate your life to tell others what God has done for you in and through Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you your word is unchanging. It's still as relevant today as it was when it was first written all those years ago. Father, thank you for reminding us something of this story in Joshua. Thank you that he challenged the people. And the people said, we will follow the Lord. Father, help us in our lives today. Help us all to, first of all, make that decision to follow Jesus Christ in their lives. And once we have done that, help us to be devoted in telling other people what we have discovered ourselves, the love of Jesus Christ. And once we have devoted our lives to Jesus Christ, and to tell other people, help us also to dedicate the rest of our lives to tell other people about Jesus. So, Father God, thank you for these simple words this morning. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to speak to each one of us as we leave this place in a little while. Go into this week, which none of us knows what's going to happen to us. We have our diaries, we have our plans, but you know the future, we don't. But as we go into this week, Father, we want to walk with you, in step with your Spirit. So as we go from this place, Father, help us to munch over these words and to be more desirous to be following and devoted to you in these coming days. Hear our prayer, Heavenly Father, which we pray in the precious name, the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen. Amen.